Club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
De Kock pulls out, MG. That is the headline today. Quinton de Kock, the South African superstar, has pulled out of the T20 World Cup off the back of instruction from Cricket South Africa that all players must take a knee before the remainder of the games for that team.
Yeah, getting very political, and I would have had a bit of fun with that line 3 or 4 years ago when the old MG was a bit of a hijinkster, but now I'm very serious, mate. Now I'm a serious broadcaster.
Don't try and put me in the shade with you on your high horse, mate.
I just don't believe it. I don't believe
it. Look, it is a very serious issue, but it is still a very funny
note. You know what? I know we're going to talk about it at length.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter that I believe that they found out what they had to do was, which was a mandate on the weight of the game. Obviously, some guys have got strong opinions one way or the other. A lot of people have been opinionated on this story since, and we'll go through it tonight.
Very divisive. We will get to it. Aaron Woods is going to join us. Aaron Woods, the dragon, for the first time, MG. We've spoken to Woodsy the tiger, Woodsy the bulldog, Woodsy the shark, and now we get Woodsy the dragon.
Yeah, it could have been Woodsy the Superleaguer, but he's back, and I'm glad he is back because I think he's got a lot of value left in him, and I think he's got a lot to give, especially for the younger forwards at the Dragons.
I'm interested to know where else he might have landed, because I think there was interest across the league for Woodsy with the form he displayed with the Sharks. So
when did this all happen, Liam? Did it happen while they're up in camp? Did it happen recently? Okay. Let's ask him.
And look, we've got to talk about it before we finish up today. Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady's made history, but it's the piece of memorabilia and the deal that was struck with the fan in the crowd to get that piece of memorabilia back.
No deal, Tom.
I think they've ripped this bloke off.
Oh yeah,
in a really, really big way. Oh,
severely.
We'll tell you what he got for it a bit later. But off the top,
what's cracking?
November 1 creeps ever closer, MG. It is going to be a madhouse next week when the deadline, or the open line officially starts for new signings. Couple of movements we need to talk about. First off, Tyron May. We need to get into your backyard. This is all leaving a very bad taste in the mouth off the back of the Panthers premiership. Tyron May, who has been stood down by the club indefinitely from all duties off the back of his social media post after the grand final. This arcs back to his court issues with basically tape recording people without their consent. He was found guilty, given community service, and yet the social media post after the grand final win suggested that he was hard done by during the whole thing. He was fined by the NRL. He's been stood down by the club. And now it looks as though his 12-month deal for next season might be torn up. Do you think he should be sacked?
No, I don't. No, I don't think he should be sacked. I think he should have a lot more education as far as what he says in public eye. And look, he's already been down a dark road, obviously. So you just got to watch. If you want to be a first grade rugby league player, you've got to adhere to a lot of rules and regulations, and not one straight after the grand final. You lay blame on other people for what you've done. So I'm personally think he'll get another chance.
Are you disappointed, regardless of, the Tyron May is one thing, Cleary and Crichton being punished for the trade? Are you a bit disappointed with there's a bit of a tarnish on this Panthers premiership now with all this after off-field stuff?
I am. I'm disappointed by it. I'm disappointed that we couldn't celebrate with this team almost straight away. And I think that's kind of why it's unique, Liam. They were based in Sunshine, on the Sunshine Coast, playing out of Penrith. So it was very hard this season to really, whoever won the grand final, unless it was Melbourne, who basically lived up in South, in Sunshine Coast for a long time. But I think every other team who, if it was Manly or Penrith or Parra who won the comp, it would have been hard for them because they couldn't celebrate with their fans. So unique situations. Look, let's move on.
The club will be putting on something though once all the players are back in town, won't they?
I think on the 20th maybe of November, or maybe earlier. I'll let our Rush Hour listeners know exactly when there's a ticker tape parade for the premiers. But
terrific.
That'll bring the gloss back,
because that's something they've earned. They deserve, and that'll be a fantastic moment for the Penrith area. Right, let's stay in Penrith. Appy Korosau has come out and said to the Panthers via his manager, "Hey, get my extension done. Or I'll test the market."
Yeah, so we've got Appy, not happy by the sounds of things, Billy Kikiao and Dylan Edwards. The three of them, I think, if they are getting fair dinkum, Penrith, that is, that they can only really keep two of them. We all know that Billy Kikiao wants a lot of money. I don't think he'll get the $800,000 that he pines for. Dylan Edwards, I think they'll wrap him up. They'll lock him up. So then it comes down to Api Korosau and Billy Kikau, which one they need most. I don't know. I personally think they need both of them because I think Api is fantastic out of dummy half. He's 28. He's still got another 4 or 5 years in him. And Billy Kikau's the alpha male of that pack outside of, you know,
Fisher Harris.
So Kikau gets the ball, and when he's on the field, you pay to go and watch him play. So, look, it's a big decision to make, and I think they'll make the right one.
You know what's going to happen now. You've set this up. You've walked into this yourself. I have to – who are you prioritising? Who does the club prioritise? And don't say I don't know. The options are they prioritise Billy Kikau or Api Korosau.
Look, personally, it'd be Kikau for me.
Okay. That's all you need to say. Well, Api will have interest from around the league, no doubt. I'd have to check because Appy's the oldest bloke at that club, so I don't know who becomes the old man.
Well, Capel was second, and he's gone.
And he's gone.
That's a good question.
It might be Isaiah Yeo, 27 or whatever.
27, wow. Yeah, such babes.
And the other big story, and Parramatta, I mean, as November 1 approaches, the sweat must be pouring out of the joint. Bankwest Stadium must be dripped, or CommBank Stadium as it is
CommBank,
now,
yeah.
Must be dripping in sweat because the amount of players that they have off contract and able to be able to sign come November 1. But Gutho, the captain, there's a 2 year. The reports are from Adrian Prezenko on the Sydney Morning Herald. The club wants to give him 2 years. His manager wants 3, maybe 4. Surely you just give it to him, don't you?
No, not surely. No, you don't, because if he gets a 4-year extension, he'll be 32 at the end of that. So you don't know what's going to happen. I think 2 years. Well, he's got another year to go, hasn't he? So he's got 2022. So 23 and 24, he's wrapped up. So that's another 3 years at the Eels. That'll make him 29 when he finishes that contract, till 30. I think then it's time for him to back himself. If he thinks that he's got a couple more years in him after that, and don't forget, fullbacks probably don't go as long as other players in different positions because there's a lot of K's you got to run, a lot of explosive footy, and the way Gutho plays and prepares, his body is his temple. So he's got to be careful. But Gutho is the heart and soul of Parramatta. Let's be frank. But I don't think you dive into someone like at that age.
He's 27.
He'll be 30. But I'm saying he'll be 32 if you give him a 4-year extension at the end of that.
I find it, and I, you know more about this game than I do, but from a fan's perspective, everyone's got an opinion. That we've seen from Clint Gutherson over the last 2 years, the work ethic, all the rest of that, he's 27 years of age, he's in his prime, now is the time that his management should be asking for the big deal.
Yeah, I disagree. I think the jury's out on Gutho. I think Gutho is a fantastic club player. I think he gives his heart and soul in any team he plays for. But I think if you're gonna dive into him when there's all these young 19 and 20 year olds coming through, and you're gonna give a 29 year old an extension of another couple of years, and you know 3 years on top of that, whatever it is, I think you're diving into dangerous waters. I think you just keep them hungry. I think there's nothing wrong with a two year extension, which will make you play there until the end of 24.
I agree with that, but the only problem arises when someone else comes in and is prepared to give him the deal.
Well, you'd probably say if you're Parramatta, well, good luck with that because, you know, it's...
MG says the jury's out on you. If I land on a jury, I'm voting for you. I'm finding you're not guilty. Guilty. I've lost track of the analogy. The point is, I think Gutho deserves everything from that club. He's done a terrific job. So,
well, everyone want to copy it with him.
The T20 World Cup, MG, rolls on in the UAE. Australia's next game, they won their first hit out against South Africa. Their next game comes very early Friday morning, 1 a.m. start. They'll take on Sri Lanka, who got through the preliminary qualifying. So Australia should be favourite, and hopefully they kick off their tournament with a 2-0 start. But last night, the T20 World Cup was turned on its absolute head by an incident involving South Africa and the West Indies and South African batsman Quinton de Kock.
Yeah, wicketkeeper. Yeah.
The wicketkeeper. Now, for those who aren't across the story, I'll catch you up as quickly as I can. They're on their way to the game. Before the Australia game, South Africa, some members of the team had taken a knee. Some members hadn't as a stand against racism. Right. Now, so there's been images getting around of this. There's some players taking a knee, some players with hands behind the backs, head bowed. It's a bit of a hodgepodge of stances.
Yep.
Then on the way to the game against the West Indies, it has emerged that Cricket South Africa put out an edict, basically making it mandatory that all players in the South African team take a knee before the remainder of their games for this tournament. And the cricketers are told this on the bus on the way to the game, on the way to the ground. Quinton de Kock, as a result of this edict from Cricket South Africa, has withdrawn from the match, and it looks like from the tournament.
Yeah, I think so. And oh, look, I'll put a big qualifier up here. It's hard to comment on something that I know absolutely nothing about. When the South Africans come back into world cricket back in the early 90s, I didn't really know the whole story of Nelson Mandela, and I was, once you get your head wrapped around that, you quickly start to believe that the apartheid actions and all that type of political stuff was just wrong. There was no real show of solidarity before the Aussie game, which worried me a bit for the South Africans. You're either in it together or you're out of it together. And I don't know what they're in it together. I don't know which way to go down. I don't know what they're talking. I don't know.
Yeah, and it is a difficult situation. This obviously is still surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement. We've seen stances taken.
There's been opinions. They're all been divided as what should happen to de Kock. I've heard some players, ex-players say banning for life. I've heard other players. Ex-player saying, "Well, he's not doing anything wrong because he's so it's really murky, It's some people are trying to compare it to vaccinations, and this is sport, And I look when Kaepernick took the knee a few years back, it kind of blew up. It all kind of that was the starting point of everything, and then everyone had their opinion. Everyone thought was what was right, what was wrong. All I do know is that politics and sport don't mix. You can make a powerful statement through sport." Re-politics, but 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. Someone isn't happy.
Yeah, inevitably, politics makes its way into sport because of how important sport is to us, not just in Australia, but around the world. Now, you talk about us not being inside the tent on this one. Themba Bavuna is the captain of the South African T20 team, and he is a player of colour.
Yep.
He fronted the press after they defeated the West Indies last night, and here's what he had to say about his teammate.
We respect his decision. We respect his convictions. And as far as we stand, I mean, Quinton is still one of the players. He's still one of the boys. So whatever support that he needs, whatever shoulder that he requires from us teammates will be there for him. And if there's a need for further conversations to be had, I'm sure those will definitely happen amongst the guys.
Yeah, MG, I wonder.
There's a leader. There's a leader for you.
Yeah, what a fantastic speech to be able to give under the circumstances. I ask you, do you think... And this is hypothetical, so, let's not judge MG on his response to this. But the Cricket South Africa has, it seems like an administrative cock-up to put this on the players as they're on the bus on the way to the game. But if it was the captain, Themba Bavuna, a person and player of colour, who'd asked the team, hey, can we kneel as one here? Do you think we might have seen a different response?
I've got a feeling the captain might have had a little bit of influence on the team, and that's why we saw such a vast array of stances in the first game against Australia. They looked like they were something out of a bloody circus, how they one was standing up, one was sitting down, one... Like, as I said, if you're either in it together or you're out of it together. And when you've got so many conflicting opinions on what they should be doing, and then the South African Cricket Board ring the bus and say, you know what, everybody must kneel. Well, man, that's hard.
And then they're releasing statements during the innings.
And to answer your question, I don't think he would have. I don't think de Kock would have. I think his mind was made up. I don't know if it was made up once the cricket board told him to, but I'm pretty sure that the captain would have said something to them in the first game. I don't think that, or maybe not. Maybe that's why they're so dysfunctional at the moment. Maybe there's so many things going on inside their own tent, as you said. That they don't even know if they should get out and sit by the campfire together or not. I find it really sad that a team that was so powerful as South Africa have been reduced to something like this, and it's something that it needs to be fixed. Let's face facts. We don't want to see any nation so divided as this nation seems to be, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, Liam.
Well, look, South Africa's next game in the T20 World Cup is against Sri Lanka this Saturday. Hopefully, we continue to see united front from the team. The other thing I will say on this, MG, is we need to hear from Quinton de Kock. He probably hasn't been given the chance to, so let's not crucify the bloke as yet, but he needs to speak about his actions and explain them.
Or does he?
I think he does. I think if you're in that position and you make a stance like he has made, I think you owe
I agree.
You have a level of responsibility, and I'm not saying he has to kneel, but he needs to explain his decision not to kneel and his motivations behind it.
revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30 to November 6. VRC.com.au. This is the Rush Hour Melbourne Cup Tipping League.
The horses are on the track.
Oh, yeah.
The Tipping League, MG, it starts this weekend. People need to get involved. Go and sign up. You can sign up directly at giddyupflemington.com.au or you can head to the Triple M win page for all the details. It's basically footy tipping, but for horses. And if you win our league, you win yourself $2,000, easy as you like.
Some massive races just around the corner starting this Saturday, which we'll preview in depth later on in the week.
The Victorian Derby,
whichever way you're. So you say Derby, I say Derby.
Well, you'd be wrong.
I'm saying Derby.
You'd be wrong.
I'm from Sydney.
Okay, you got me there. Is Derby Day the day they all dress up in black and like? Is it black and white? Is that the colour scheme?
I went to Derby Day. I'll go with you here. I think about 4 years ago with the grill team.
And, yes.
I don't know what they were. I don't know what people wore.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
All I do know, we're in the bird cage, whatever it's called. There's some place where you're supposed to be was, you know, fancy. And we're about a K from the racetrack. And all I saw was the back of some bloke's head. So it wasn't a real good experience.
So but, that's MG's experience trackside. And I don't know the front end of a horse from the back end. So if you think you can beat us in a tipping comp, win yourself $2,000, all you got to do is sign up. Head to the Triple M win page for details. You can revel in the spirit of the Melbourne Cup Carnival October 30th, this Saturday, all the way through to November 6th, vrc.com.au. MG, the NRL player movement madness, it's in full swing. We're closing in on November 1, where we expect to see pieces of paper signed. But I've got to say, as we welcome in our next guest, I'm disappointed. Because I feel like we've done a lot for this bloke on this show.
Oh, look, it's, you know, obviously some things you do behind the scenes, some things you do overtly.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, you put him on your show and basically say, you know, spruik yourself to the nearest bidder. And guess what? The nearest bidder found him.
Well, and I'm just disappointed that we didn't get a heads up early on. I think we asked his wife as well for a heads up on exactly where Aaron Woods would be signing and playing in 2022. He joins us on the line now. Woodsy, it's come out. You're playing for the Dragons and we didn't get the heads up.
Yeah. Well, first of all, hello, fellas. How are we?
Hello, Woodsy. Hello, mate.
Now, look, honestly, it was just I kept it nice and quiet, kept it close to the heart. I didn't even tell the wife, so she was actually being honest with you. Look, mate, it was a decision I made around football. Obviously, it is close to home as well, but speaking with Hook and a couple of the recruitment at the Dragons, they've signed some good players and they're moving in a really good direction. I'm really happy to be part of the squad.
Well, we kind of surmised that any club would be good for you because of what you've done in the past. You're a representative player at the highest level. And you seem to have gotten better with age. You know, your footy last year with the Sharkies was, you know, just as good as you've ever played, I think, in different ways, obviously. But when was the first contact with the Dragons? Was it, you know, was it mid-season? Was it once the season was over? And in the end, what was, you know, what was Hook's line to get you? Well, Hook's line, that's a good one, fishing. Yeah. What was Hook's line that said, okay, I'm going there because that looks like a club that's, you know, on the up?
Well, funny thing is, MG, where we stayed in Brisbane when we were playing up there, we stayed in the same hotel as the Dragons and the Tigers. So I had a meeting with Hook up there, but originally he wanted to get me there before June 30 of the season that just passed.
Okay.
And, you know, we just had the little one. My wife and the family were in quarantine. It was just hard to make a decision. And then I didn't want to let the boys down at Cronulla because we already lost, you know, Wade Graham and Josh Dugan hadn't come away. Shawnee Johnson had just been, you know, did his hamstring. So we had quite a few players out. I just didn't want to let the squad down. So I said to Hook at the time, look, it's a decision I can't do immediately. But at the end of the year, I'll definitely have a look at it. And, you know, they were lucky enough to come back and still be keen once the season was over. And we just had a couple of chats. And, you know, he's a pretty straightforward guy. What you see is what you get. There's no, you know, crap that comes with it. And, you know, he just told me a few things that I really did like about the club and things that he can really help me with my game. So I was really excited. And, yeah, it wasn't too long. And next thing you know, I was agreed to turn to the Dragons.
Who missed out? Was there interest elsewhere around the league for Woodsy?
Yeah, I had a couple of clubs, to be honest with you, Liam. But, You know, obviously my old club, the Tigers, you know, I had a couple of chats with them. You know, at times Manly and the Warriors were keen as well. I think during the year there was a couple of clubs that were keen to get me before June 30, but I just didn't want to do that to Cronulla. You know, they got me, you know, they helped me get me out of a club before, and you know, I thought I owed them back. So I just wanted to get throughout the year with the Sharks and you know, finish off, try to make the top eight. Obviously we didn't, but yeah, so just move forward. And yeah, there was a couple of clubs, but you know, I'm happy where I'm going to now.
Yeah, great. We can't wait to see you in the Red V. Look, it proves to us the good guys do come first sometimes, and we're really happy for you, brother. We really are from the bottom of our hearts. And look, as the Dragons say goodbye to 10 players, you know, obviously the barbecue gate, they didn't win another game after that. They were looking really good up until then, with yourself and Molo and Sewer and Burgess and Moses Suli and Moga and Gajewski. There's seven handy first graders, more than handy. Also, after Niokora from the Eels, things are starting to look, even though you haven't played a touch of the ball yet for the Dragons, things have already gotten better. If you put you guys with Hunt and Bird and Lomax and Sims, that's a formidable team.
Yeah, definitely, MG. You know, there's a lot of really quality players there. You know, you throw McCulloch in at hooker as well, and young Sloan, Sullivan, Amone as well. So there's a good mixture of young players and senior players as well. So, you know, like I said, the no ball's been kicked off, so everyone's on 0 points at the moment. But it's exciting time so far, you know. Obviously, it was disappointing with what happened with the barbecue stuff last year and for them not to win a game afterwards, but probably the best thing for them is a lot of those players have gone, and you know, there's a lot of fresh faces in there that's not going to be lingering around our heads. You know, we can move forward from the get-go when we start pre-season. So there's not going to be too much, you know, worry about what happened last year. We need to move forward, and you know, the most important thing we need to do is get wins early on and you know, get a good position on the ladder.
Absolutely. Well said. That Dragons fans out there, just, I reckon they're going to be pretty excited that this bloke's involved, as you say, in the Red V next year. Now, Woodsy, I need you to give us some insight, because yesterday on the show we had Paul Gallen on and he unloaded.
He's probably trying to make some more dollars
on Josh Alloy, because we had Josh on Osha LA on last week. Now, you know Gow. You live in his hood at the moment, and you know Josh. You would have played against him. Does Josh stand a chance?
Look, I know Josh was a really good boxer coming through, a young kid. I think he might have been Golden Gloves back in New Zealand where he was from. I know he's been chasing his fight for quite a while too, because he mentioned it to me, I think, even when I was playing with him at Tigers. He goes, I'd love to fight Gal one day.
Wow.
Technically, Josh would be a really good fighter, but I just don't know if he's had enough runs on the board. You know, it's like footy. I don't know if he's had enough matches, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Whereas Gal, you know, Gal's been, he's finished footy 2-3 years ago, where he's been going straight into the boxing scene. He's trained. Mate, the one thing about Gal I know that, you know, probably a lot of people wouldn't, is the bloke trains nonstop. He's as fit as anything, and he's as tough as nails. So I think, as you've seen in his last fight against Hooney, that was unbelievable, the amount of, you know, punishment that he got. So if Josh, big Josh Yellowi, can hit him with a couple of good ones, you know, he's going to have to get him early. But if Gal takes him into, I think they're trying to get, you know, 6 or 8 rounds. If he gets into that later stage, I think it's going to be really tough on big Joshy.
Yeah, I tend to agree. As we said to Gal, I think he's past them. Look, I'm not calling Josh a gimmick fight, but we've got to see more of him before you put him in with Gal. Gal's earned the right to pick the fights he wants and you know, pick the fights that are going to make him some cabbage, because he is a prize fighter. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see them come to a compromise, because I'm like you, Woodsy. I've heard that, you know, coming through the ranks, he could hold his hands up, and I didn't know he's a Golden Gloves. That just adds a little bit of salt to the pasta. So that's.
But he's not a bloke that's never fought before.
No.
But
no.
Yeah, it's just Gal. I think he's been around too long. And like you said, MG, he's got the runs on the board. He can do what he wants now. You know, he's beat Big Daddy Brown, Mark Hunt. Mate, as I said, the runs are on the board there for Gal, so he can pick and choose, not the other blokes.
What's your fee, Woodsy? How much would it take to get you in there with Gal? Oh,
mate, it's not a chance in the world.
What about this one? This will get us headlines. Who's one bloke in the NRL you'd love to get in the ring with?
I'd love to get in the ring with in the NRL.
Don't say Ben Hunt either.
Who would I? Probably Alex Tuao. He's too nice from the Tigers. He's got to be good mate.
Why don't we make?
I might be a chance.
Nah, I think we need to have the best of friends fight. I think we need to get you in there with your old mate Clem.
That would be hard. I just get into his head before he got into the ring. It'd be too easy.
All right, there you go, Georgie Rose. Make that one happen. I want to see it. Hey, Woodsy, an absolute pleasure to have you on. MG said, we're stoked that you're going to be involved with the Dragons next year. And it is putting together some sort of team as well. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing the Red V at the start of 2022. Woodsy, always a pleasure. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, boys. Really appreciate it.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Thanks to Blue Bet. If you're having a bet on the races this weekend, the Golden Eagle at Rose Hill, or you know Derby
Private
Day
Eye.
As well,
Private Eye,
who's going?
Yep, okay. Top weight, Nash Ruler.
You'll be having a bet through Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. You can do same race multis with Bluebet as well. And if you are going to have a bet, remember to do so responsibly. Tom Brady, the GOAT, 7-time Super Bowl champion, the most in the history of the NFL. He has broken another record over the weekend, MG. First quarterback ever to throw 600 touchdown passes.
Yeah, freakish. So I tried to think of that in comparison to what maybe a halfback would do in assists and stuff. But there is nothing. It's just phenomenal for the longevity of this guy to do it for so long, and it's probably why we admire what Cameron Smith did so long in rugby league, because that's the only comparison I can see in nearly world sport. To play for so long and to be so successful for so long.
So long, yeah.
It's unbelievable what Brady has done.
Mm. It's incomparable because it's never happened before. And there's
true.
You'd be surprised if it ever happened again, because the bloke's in his 40s now and you're just not meant to play that long. But there's a story to this, because he threw the 600th touchdown to wide receiver Mike Evans, who catches the ball completely unaware that it's this milestone moment, goes and gives the ball to a fan in the crowd, as they do in the NFL. Now, obviously, panic sets in at this point.
You imagine Tom Brady straight away went,
But if you haven't seen it, we'll put it on our socials, at Rush Hour Triple M. There's footage of a Tampa Bay Buccaneer official going over and conducting a negotiation with the fan to get the ball back.
Yep.
Could you imagine the pressure on that bloke's shoulders?
I know that they interviewed Tom Brady after it. Okay, so they're saying this ball could be worth anything from $500,000 to $600,000.
Wow!
And apparently he got offered something like a helmet and a jumper and what they should be doing is giving him a replica ball, something like that. They should be giving him something probably half of the value, because he got it. And whether it was by accident or not, he got it. And I don't think they should be taking it off him in a hurry, because they should at least give him lifetime membership to the game.
Well, can I tell you what they gave him? Can I tell you exactly what he's been given?
The official
I've
list
got the official, okay. official trade deal for this
okay.
ball.
This
he was given, this new Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan was given 2 signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady, a signed Mike Evans jersey and the game cleat, so that's the wide receiver who caught the pass, $1,000 to spend at the Bucs team store,
yep.
2 season tickets for the remainder of this year.
No, see, that's where they erred. That's where they should be giving lifetime.
But then Tom Brady sweetened the deal.
Okay, what
Tom? Brian realized he lost all of his leverage once he gave the ball away. He should have held it and then just had as much leverage as possible.
Amateur move. Yeah, so, if he would have held it, he would have been sitting in the Tom Brady suite for the rest of the season. But amateur move on his part.
I'm also giving him a Bitcoin, which, I mean, that's pretty cool too. So
he's giving him a Bitcoin.
Which is worth how much?
At the moment, it's worth about $80,000 Australian. Tomorrow it could be worth $45. This is the beauty of this man's either very rich in the moment, or he might be not so rich in the next.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Tom Brady seems like a cool dude for me. I like him. I you know, it was Evans' fault.
It was.
He should be giving. But it wasn't his fault. It was just one of the moments where you're caught up in the moment and you give something away that you know you shouldn't. I've done it before.
Have you? Have you got some memorabilia that you couldn't get back, that you weren't able to get?
Well, I'm trying to get it back, but it's hard getting it back from this bloke, because he kind of sleeps in it.
What is it?
Well, we had an Origin themed night with the grill team. My co-host back then, Gus Wallen, said, "Have you got a spare jumper to bring in to, you know, so I can wear it for the outside broadcast?" And I said, "Mate, I've only got the one that I played in '91 against Wally." I said,
"Hold on,
only
not
one
I've the
got.
The
yes, the one that's the only one I've got
jersey.
It's got Gaia on the back, number 11. Yes, still got dirt and grime all over it." And so I bought it in. I said, "Mate, look, it's pretty valuable, so please don't." You know, well, I haven't got it back.
Hold on. Gus Warland from Dead Set Legends still has that Blues jumper.
Still has that jumper. I've got pictures in my phone of him with that jersey on. Yes. It should be in my gym.
This is a crime against rugby league.
Well, I haven't really pressed the issue, to be honest. I haven't really pressed the issue, but my kids are getting older now, and they're starting to realise what I've done in my life, both good and bad, unfortunately, for Wikipedia. But damn you, Google. But I think it's time for the jersey to be back to its rightful owner, and that's in the riff.
Okay. The fact that New South Wales jumper is sitting on the northern beaches is a disgrace, yes, for one. But the fact that it's in the hands of Gus Wallen when it should be, and you loaned it to him. It wasn't
a
gift.
It to him. Yeah, no, you know, kind of when transactions happen, you go and think, oh, well, he'll wash it and bring it back next week. But the next Origin thing we had, he had it on.
No, okay, we need to fix this. We need an tomorrow on the show.
Yeah,
we need to get Gus Wallen on, and we need to offer him a Tom Brady style deal. Oh, yeah. We need to find.
I know the way to his heart. I know the way to his heart. Let's keep it for tomorrow. I've got something
up
my sleeve.
The way to a man's heart is through.
Well, there's a couple of things. There's a bloke in Hollywood who he doesn't mind too much. Who I could probably get him to do something for me.
A bit of peer pressure.
Yeah, because he does really like me, and I think sometimes even more than his best mate. But that's another time. But the weight of this man is through his stomach, and I know the perfect way. So tomorrow we'll give him a deal that he can't refuse.
Tomorrow, can we get the iconic New South Wales Blues jumper back from Gus Wallen to its rightful owner, back to its spiritual home at MG Active in Penrith?
Well, let's hope so, because my walls miss it. I'm sad too, though. And that's for you, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for your ears. It's been an absolute pleasure once again. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.